interested to find and hire Chinese staff, then today's show is for you. globalfromasia.com/episode76.
Welcome to the Global from Asia podcast, where the daunting process of running an international business from Hong Kong is broken down into straight up actionable advice. And now, your host, Michael Michelini.
Hope everybody's having an amazing day. Welcome to episode number 76, Global from Asia podcast. I had a great Saturday offline, hiking up Wutong Mountain in Shenzhen, 5 hours up and down, and basically filled up most of my day, and it was great exercise and cleared my head and gave me some new ideas on business and life. So I recommend everyone try to do that. So I want to make a quick announcement. I'm going to host my first ever webinar, giving you guys some video footage, not just this normal audio podcast format. I'm going to give some tips on operating a Hong Kong business. I'm going to show you some slides and a little bit of me and a little bit of some web stuff. So I got a bullet post of tips and tricks and some questions from listeners, and I'll make it interactive. So I'll answer questions from you guys. It's also going to be on my birthday, Thursday, April 2nd. So I'm going to have some special giveaways at the end. It's going to be 9 a.m. Hong Kong time, Thursday morning, April 2nd, which would be 9 p.m. Wednesday, April Fool's Day for those on the East Coast in New York, or 6 p.m. for those on the West Coast. To see more and to sign up, go to globalfromasia.com/webinar. Okay, and now onto this week's show. We have my friend Dave Ho, who I've known back since 2008 when he first came here. We've been friends since the day he arrived. He's been managing multiple businesses and outsourcing companies and has lots of experience dealing with staff in China. So I thought it would be a good follow-up show from last week where we were talking about hiring in Hong Kong with Fion. Today is mainland China. Also, the show notes, as always, are on globalfromasia.com/episode76. So now let's tune in. Hey guys, post-edit going on here. And Boban, my awesome editor, has alerted me that there was a few, 4 or 5 spots in the interview where it got some kind of technical issue with the mic or the computer where there was some choppiness. You know, we really work hard here to keep the quality amazing, the content is still valuable. We didn't want to remove those parts because it had good content. I will put those clearly written and typed out in the show notes for you so you can see them if it's not clear in the audio. But, you know, it's either we delay this show by a week because we can't get David back for at least a week, or we will do it this way. So I hope you agree. If you disagree, please let me know, or any other issues. I'm sorry. Most of the interview is fine. There's just 4 or 5 spots with some hiccups. So thanks for your understanding. This will not happen again, I promise. Okay, thank you everybody for tuning in to another Global from Asia podcast. Today we have a special one with my good friend David Ho here, and we are in Shenzhen. Thanks for being here, David.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
So today we're going to talk about a fun, popular topic about hiring and managing staff in China. I know you've got some experience in that. Maybe you can first introduce your company and some experience with managing.
Sure. So I came to China back in 2008. I originally came here actually to meet with you. My father met you here, and then we linked up, and I worked with you for a little while, did a little trading. Then we got involved with the online platform Spible. After that, I got involved with event organizing through 3 different brands for about a year. And then I started SolidRank, which was a company that provided online marketing and web development services, mostly for foreigners in Shenzhen. And following that, I did that for about 2 years. And then in 2012, I took over my father's businesses, which were in the printed circuit board industry. So I have one company that provides procurement services for factories in the US and Europe, and another company that provides IT outsourcing. And we also have our own ERP system for factories in China.
You've been through a lot and known each other many years. So especially now, even then, you've dealt with a lot of different staff in China. So I think it's a great topic for you to share with everybody. So thanks again for coming on. Maybe first, let's start with the recruiting or hiring. And what are your tips usually for that?
Sure. So for hiring, I guess firstly you talk about the channels you would find people through. And when you're looking for people in China, I think more than in the West, you're going to want to be asking for your current staff's friends or friends of your other friends' employees or friends of yours. And maybe if even if you're lucky enough to have family here, any of their relatives or friends of theirs that are maybe suitable for the position you're looking to fill. And that's because, as with many things in China, trust is always an issue that you're concerned about. And when they do come through that path, they tend to be trustworthy because they are coming through some relationship that they don't want to spoil by, you know, screwing you over. So outside of the different channels you use, I mean, there's also, you can use online channels that we regularly make use of. I can't remember the name of the website. It's some Chinese HR website that my HR girl recommends. So besides channels, I guess then the next step would be actually interviewing people. When it comes to interviewing, I try to avoid sophisticated questions when you're dealing with interviewing Chinese staff. And that would depend on what level of individual you're interviewing. I mean, if you're interviewing for a middle level management or for, you know, a higher position with somebody that has a lot more education, a lot more experience, then you could ask those kind of questions. With me, I've been typically hiring people with 3 to less than 10 years experience. Some of them are technical. Some of them are, you know, they're just college educated. They've worked in the industry for a while. And, you know, particularly if you're also dealing with the language barrier, you want to try to stick to pretty straightforward questions. Another thing that I would recommend is, whenever you're hiring for whatever particular position you're looking for, you should have in mind the character of the type of person you're looking for. So when you're talking to them, I think that's one of the key things you really ought to be probing for, as well as trying to get a feel of whether or not they're going to be somebody that you can trust. Because again, that is an issue that is going to be haunting you if you're going to be doing anything in China, is the issue of trust. So those are the two main things I'd be looking for. So I would suggest picking questions that focus on helping you find out if they're going to be suitable in those two regards.
Great. And some other follow-up questions with, like, recommending, like, your staff or friends recommending, do you consider, like, paying those people for introducing you? Or
generally speaking, no. That is because it can actually, if you're familiar with the concept of face in China, it's a kind of respect between, well, any individuals, you know, that there's if a friend were to find out that the friend recommended by them to you, that their friend was actually being offered some kind of compensation by you, that can actually cause your current employee to lose face to their friend. So when it comes to this particular exchange, if you will, I would generally recommend not doing something like that, whereas in other places you could do commission type deal.
And then also background checks, or is there ways that you could look into these potential candidates, you know, to understand if they're trustworthy or not?
I mean, certainly you want to do your due diligence on all the documents and even the information that's provided in the, if you have them fill out anything when they're interviewed, or what's appearing on their resume, because they can fudge some facts sometimes. And this will get better, again, as you're hiring higher up with people that are more sophisticated, that have more education and they're higher level. But if you're getting down to those that have maybe high school level education, you will find sometimes it's dishonesty, sometimes it's more or less a white lie. But you just want to check to make sure what they are saying is true. And if they are not being completely honest, you know, you might find something out, like perhaps they are telling you that they're not currently employed, but they are still employed with their previous employer. They're just on vacation looking for a better job. That I've actually run into a couple of times, and that's fairly common. But, and that's not, I was talking to Mike before this. I consider that kind of a white lie. It's not so bad. I actually end up hiring the last girl that did this to me. You want to be extra careful about the information they're giving you, and checking to make sure as much as you can that it is true.
I think also maybe social media in China has been good. Like, you can even probably add them on WeChat, or if they have a Weibo or other things, could also maybe help for some listeners there, and check their moments and their pictures. And maybe that's not even, I guess even in the US, you can't really check Facebook or stuff, but you know, I think small businesses probably can get away with that. So also contracts. So you obviously have a company registered in mainland China. Can you give us some ideas of how you get people on board?
So, I mean, you really should talk to my HR girl about that. But basically, when it comes to contracting employees through your Chinese company, you have three contracts that you're allowed to have with that one employee. Once they're on the third contract, they are employed with you forever until they are terminated. So with that in mind, I guess it would be important to try to extend the length of the first two contracts as much as possible. Other than that, just make sure that you are, whoever is handling the hiring and the contracting knows what they're doing, that they're using the proper paperwork. There is at least in Shenzhen, there is one generic employment contract that needs to be filled out. And then in addition to that, there is a salary contract, which details how they're going to be paid. In particular about the salary contract, I would recommend structuring it such that they have a base salary and then a bonus. Now, this is just contractually a way to structure it. You will tell the employee they're getting paid X. The two pieces, their salary and the bonus, will still equal X. But this will allow you in the future, if there are issues with the employee, more leverage, more to play with. There in some circumstances, you can pay them less because you have this part of their salary is based on performance. It's a bonus. I think that's about it for contracts.
And then also, I think usually there's a probation. I know it might depend on length. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, generally speaking, with probation period, I would just recommend probably the same thinking as you would think in the West is the more important they are and the less clear you are about their suitability, it depends the contract length of the first base, how long it is. Basic for a track, you have a probation period. You want to extend that whole contract length, which is interesting because you want to extend that anyway because you want to avoid that third and final contract being, you know, with the termination date.
And I think we didn't cover what probation is, but that's when they can leave without notice, or you could let them go without notice. So it's not as it's kind of like a getting to know you period where they start working in the company. And then is there any, that's basically it, right? Am I missing anything?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's the same. That's what the word is.
Okay. And now onto the fun. So they're working in the company and they're coming in 9 a.m. or whatever their start time is. And any tips on managing this new member of your company?
Well, I have a few, I guess. Firstly, don't be afraid to get closer to your employees that are more important to you. Don't be afraid to, say, meet their family and meet their children. And because, you know, it is a country, even you could say, where it is friendship and relationship first. And it does not hurt to build the relationship with the employees. And again, that depends on their level of importance to you. You only have so much time. So for those that are more important, say for me, I have an office manager and she's the key person in my office. So if I have time, I will spend time to meet her family and meet her children and spend time with them just to build that relationship because she is so critical to what I do. The only other tip I can think is it might not be advisable to be a Western manager here in China. It can, and I know this from trying to have implemented this in my own company. It sounds good in principle and it will function fine if you are working with Western employees. But if you try to bring in some of the Western ways of thinking into managing, say giving your employees more autonomy than they're used to, allowing them to make their own decisions, allowing them to work from home, these things can actually be problematic in my experience. It's not as simple as telling them there's a new way of working and this new culture. It's you need to actually train them and show them how to use this new way of this new culture properly. And at least in my experience, I found it more troublesome than it's worth. They are already accustomed to maintaining a hierarchy between, this is another related but also separate issue. It is kind of important to maintain the hierarchy in your company. There's the boss level and then there's the employees and then there's those people that work under the employees. They are comfortable with this. They're used to this and this is what will enable them to be the most productive in my experience. And that's about
true. Yeah, like I've also had tried to have like the flat organization. You remember those days, and it's not very effective here. And I think yeah, like I definitely just want to reiterate what Dave said with the hierarchy, and you know, there's the manager and then the staff, and then they report up, and you know, I think that's just a necessary thing. So managing is, so things are going well, they have their manager or their employee, and but maybe getting to the parting of ways time, which is always the tricky thing. So I don't know if we put it in the same topic, but firing them or them quitting, maybe you can do that as two pieces or one together.
So, I mean, in China, I believe it's the same way in the West. It's ideal if your employee quits, as if they quit, you're not required to pay them any severance. You know, obviously there are instances where that's not going to happen. when it comes to firing, I generally apply the principle of trying to be as fair to them as they have been to me as an employee. So if they have performed well and I have no hard feelings to them and they're leaving peacefully, they have given me their proper notice, I have no problem with paying them the normal severance. It gets a little hairier when you're going to leave on bad terms. That I don't really have any advice that's applicable to all situations. You kind of have to take that case by case in my experience. Should I go into a horror story?
Yeah, maybe we could save that for the, we'll save the horror story for the end for everybody here. Well, I'll pop in a couple of my own, maybe one of my own too. So, but yeah, I agree. Like, yeah, getting them to quit is I think even same with girls or guys, right? Like having the girl leave is better than you maybe trying to have them leave you. But anyway, let's move on. So I think there's always this, at least for me, it's a stressful time with Chinese New Year bonuses and, you know, like keeping them happy and making sure they come back after the New Year. What I know a lot of bosses are always somewhat nervous. What are your tips here?
I mean, the most basic tip I could give is try to follow what is common in your industry for Chinese New Year. In a lot of industries, they do pay the double pay at the end of the year. Call that the 13th month. And we do that in our company where we do pay an extra month of salary. But that's not true of all companies in all different industries. So you kind of have to feel that out yourself. I mean, the other thing to think about is, I guess, where your employees are. Do they feel like there's a very strong future here? Do they feel like the work they are doing is meaningful? And that's more of a soft evaluation of where your employees are and whether or not they're going to, you know, they need that to stay on with you. Because the other thing you need to worry about with Chinese New Year coming around is a lot of times employees will not come back. So you want to make sure that they are happy and they're satisfied with what they're doing. And a big part of that is what you're going to give them on Chinese New Year, you know, whether it is that double pay or a bonus or a big party or whatever it's going to be.
Yeah, I think hopefully, like you said, if earlier we were talking about managing staff. So if you have a good relationship with them, hopefully they're giving you some signs, at least maybe not directly. But I think it's also a lot of things are indirect in China, right? Yeah. So you might have to try to be alert to try to pick up any indirect signs.
Yeah, I mean, you're mentioning that and I'm thinking it doesn't hurt to have an inside person in your own office if you can. And that would be somebody that you trust that can actually tell you what's going on in terms of, you know, what's the conversation going like in the company between employees? Is there any, even so far as talking about gossip between them, you know, and, this can actually be useful in understanding where they are with in terms of their satisfaction with their work and with the company. And you can factor that into what you're going to do for Chinese New Year.
True. So maybe also if anybody else has any experience with this, they can share in the comments on the show notes. So I think we've got kind of like the formal stuff done. Now let's get into some stories. You want to start?
Yeah, sure. I'll tell. So when I took over my father's company, the PCB procurement company, we had one staff member. She was actually the admin girl, and she had been pregnant, and she actually disappeared for about 52 days right after I took over the company. And I wasn't able to terminate her right away because she did know some critical information. So I did need her to stay, and I did need to get that information from her. When she did finally come back, she essentially tried to get the maximum amount of money out of me that she could for being pregnant. And it had become clear prior to and when she did finally return that she was not suitable for our company and that we did want to terminate her. And she was aware of that, unfortunately. And she also knew the labor law very well. So at the end of the day, I ended up having to pay out a pretty hefty sum to her to make her go away. And I guess the the real lesson that I took away from that was you need to be very careful when you're picking up employees. And that means having a good process in place for interviewing and being very selective and being very careful. You know, my process currently is there's three interviews that happen before I even talk to a candidate. And if any of the people that talk to them prior to me talking to them don't like them for any reason, I will not even talk to them. So this is just something that I've learned kind of the hard way about being careful with picking up employees.
Now it's my turn. I think you know my story, but I'll share for those listening. Yeah, I mean, I've done different kinds of businesses here too. So one was a web designer. He was average talent, a little bit high maintenance. You know who I'm talking about. I don't need to share names, but he wanted to start his own service company. And he had this idea and he suggested that he could still work in the company, but be his own boss and still help me with some projects. And it sounded kind of good to me because I didn't have to have the burden of the salary. It would be kind of on demand and I would be able to still see him and sit next to him. Mm-hmm. And so I went along with it, but he was also doing his own e-commerce project and he wanted me to be in the part business owner of that. And so after the first month, he hadn't gotten much of that done. And then I think it wasn't working out. And then he wanted another month after that. And my assistant at the time, I won't use her name, but she was pretty smart. She's a local Shenzhen. And so she knows the laws really well. So I was even honestly willing to pay him. It was 1 month salary, but she was pretty strong to say that's not fair. You know, we were already so nice to him and he was there. I think maybe they didn't have their own good relationship. So she helped me to get him to sign a contract that he was leaving the company. But I think maybe somehow we didn't fully say that we wouldn't pay that amount. So he thought maybe he was still going to get that amount. And then he left, moved out, and then he wanted that month. But we didn't pay it. And he got pretty upset. And he was calling my assistant a lot. And we were saying we weren't going to pay it. So there was two things that happened. One was, I can't remember the order, but I got this very strange email, which I actually put on my blog, that he was going to threaten to, or actually it was another friend of his in all caps. It was from a Yahoo email that I had better watch my back when I'm in the dark in the alley because I might get a surprise and some other kind of threats. And it was all misspelled. Anyways, that didn't happen. But I did get a call from the labor department. They called. So my assistant answered and then she said, yeah, he was a troublesome employee and we have the contract. We have paid the taxes. We have the contract in place. And we have him signing off that he quit the company. So the labor department, they didn't bother investigating it. They probably marked it on my record in my company. So if this kept happening, maybe I would have had a problem, but they seem to have dropped the case. So I was lucky actually. But that was pretty a little bit scary because also as a foreigner in China, you feel you have not much chance, or the laws might not be on your side. But I think that's where I would just say to make sure you have the proper contracts and are paying the proper.
Yeah, when you're mentioning that, I'm actually remembering another tip for firing. When you are going to terminate an employee, you want to make sure that happens as quickly as possible. If you're going to pay them when they're leaving, you want to do that as soon as they have signed whatever documentation says that they are leaving. Don't stipulate that you're going to pay them in a month out or a week out. Get it done, all done as soon as possible, because you don't want to give them time. And then sometimes trouble can arise if you let things drag out.
So we both got our horror stories. Maybe we do some positive things. How about the positive story?
Yeah, sure. I mean, we were talking earlier. I don't really know any tips I could tell somebody how to create this kind of situation. But I did have one employee that was a very good hire. She was very well suited to the work. She enjoyed the work. She did it very well. And because of her life situation, which was she was married to a very wealthy guy, she wasn't particularly concerned with her salary. So it just worked out very well where I was paying her competitively, but she wasn't always demanding about her salary. And she did her job very, very well because she was very well suited to it and had the appropriate experience. And, you know, unfortunately, as hard as I might try to recreate this, I haven't been able to do it with consistency. It's really just that was a good deal of luck, as well as being thorough in our interviewing process.
Hopefully get more of those, and listeners can also get some of those for themselves too. So thanks again, Dave, for coming on and sharing maybe how people can reach out to you or your business.
Sure. Yeah, you can reach me on Skype. It's my name, David.Ho321. Or you can email me. It's also my name, David.Donald.Ho@gmail.com.
All right, Dave. Thanks again. And that's a wrap. Bye-bye. Thank you, Dave, for being so kind and sharing. Everybody, he gave his Gmail there, so reach out to him and thank him. That would be much appreciated from my side. And I think hiring in mainland China, we need all the help we can get. It can be a tricky thing, and there's all these conflicting advice, so you know, we all have to kind of like learn on the ground and get our own experience. But, you know, people like Dave are amazing for sharing. Also, maybe if you have some of your own experiences, we can collect those too. You can shoot them over to me at mike@globalfromasia.com or leave them on the show notes at globalfromasia.com/episode76. Also, don't forget, I mentioned my first ever Global From Asia webinar Thursday, April 2nd and 9 a.m. Hong Kong time. You can register and check out more details at globalfromasia.com/webinar. That's all I got for today. I also appreciate 5-star reviews and any other feedback to keep this show going. And still a little bit sore in the legs and the feet from that Mike hiking experience last weekend. But also, let's all get up and get some fresh air, exercise, and not be too stressed with our business, right? Life is too short. So I'm out. Talk later. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
To get more info about running an international business via Hong Kong, please visit our website at www.globalfromasia.com. That's www.globalfromasia.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our iTunes feed. Thanks for tuning in.